Hi, I'm Shama Dalvi. Kirit and Gilles have presented rainwater management at a much larger scale. I will be presenting one of the projects that we did, and we implemented a rainwater harvesting system. It's a much, much smaller scale than what you saw till now. I'll touch very briefly on the types of rainwater harvesting system, the system that we chose for the project, and a few of the details. Beautiful site. It was absolutely stunning. When we went over there, we thought it's the best thing that an architect can wish for. There was a valley on two sides. It was 2.5 acres of land located in Elagiri. Elagiri is a hill station between Chennai and Bangalore. When you get a site like this, it's somehow absolutely important that you get all the basics right. And what we were expected to do, what the client wanted us to do, was to put 12 vacation homes on that piece of land. So rainwater harvesting was an extremely important criteria for us from the beginning of the conceptualizing stage when we were working on the layout. Elagiri is at an altitude of 1,050 meters. It's a small hill station. It's nothing compared to something like Ooty or any of the other places. It gets an average rainfall of about 900 millimeters. But because of the kind of site that we had, we were having an extremely steep gradient going towards the valley. We did want to make sure that the rainwater management that we did took care of any kind of negative impact that our buildings would have. We looked at the two rainwater harvesting systems, the active and the passive. The active system, as you know, is using pipes and water tanks and reservoirs and pumping systems to collect and to reuse the water. A passive system does not use all these, it doesn't use a pump, it doesn't use a storage device as such. It works on the principle of percolation, and it also uses the soil as a storage device. So we decided to go basically for the passive system for a couple of different reasons. One of the reasons was that the amount of runoffs that we had from the roofs was about 1,700 cubic meters, but the amount of runoff that we had from the land itself, from the paved areas and the rocks and the gardens and so on, was such a lot that we needed to do something about that also. If we went for an active system, it was clear that the amount of capital, the amount of money that we'd have to put in would be quite a lot to be able to handle that amount of water in an efficient way. So going for the passive system was something that was very comfortable for the clients. It was within their budget. It was also something that they could imagine implementing themselves, considering that we were sitting over here at such a distance from the actual site. It was also important that actual implementation was carried out properly and that it was easy possible for them to do. So that was another criteria. And the third reason why we used the passive system was the long-term maintenance. It was very important that the long-term maintenance was minimal, because these were supposed to be vacation homes. So they didn't want to be hassled by taking care of somehow a pumping system, or that somebody skilled has to look after the whole setup. So we went ahead with putting up a passive system for the project. This is the 2.5 acres of land. We have the road going along like a central spine. We have 12 houses on both sides, and a few of the common areas, such as a barbecue and a games room, a barbecue pavilion and stuff like that. The valley picture that you saw, the valley is on this side. The view was looking towards that side, and the slope is from this side up to the other. We had something like about almost a 6 meter drop from there to there. So it was quite steep. There were existing contours. What we did was we terraced the land using the existing contours, and we put about two villas on either side. So we had on one terrace level we had four villas approximately. And then we were done with the layout, and then came the big question of how we handle the water. Since we were talking about using the passive rainwater harvesting system, we had to keep in mind that whole mantra of passive rainwater harvesting. It is about reducing the runoff, it's about creating some amount of retention area, and it's about allowing the water to infiltrate. So how did we do that? It was extremely simple actually. We just made sure that we collected the water from all these surfaces as well as all the gardens and so on. Then we put a couple of ponds on the backside in the backyards of all the villas, and we made sure that we took the water from the different areas, took them into the ponds, and allowed the water to stand in the pond for long enough for it to go in. The ponds were based, I mean, how did we come to the number of ponds and so on? It was based on calculations done along with the rain data that we had. We saw what the runoffs would be, and then we came to the amount of retention areas that we'd need, and that's how we came to 11 ponds. Now, if we want to slow down runoff, if we want to provide retention, if we want to increase infiltration, it's a very nice thing. How do we actually put it into practice? The first thing is catchment, getting the water. We had all our sloping roofs installed with rainwater gutters. These are aluminium gutters which took the water from the roofs down into the terraces, and then from the terraces it was evacuated through rainwater spouts. Now, what's not shown over here, but it was done at a later stage, was that we also installed chains over here so that the water was not splattering. We had the rain coming down onto the ground over here, and then going on to the next stage, which was conveying the water, taking it away from the houses. Taking it away from the houses was extremely important because you wanted to make sure that you are not flooding the houses, you are not having a lot of red soil and mulch around the house. So that's when swales and stormwater channels come into the picture. That's how you move the water. Swales. Now, what are swales and what are stormwater channels? Swales are very small depressions into the earth which are made just to direct the water. It's nothing big, it's not a trench, it's not something, it's not rocket science, it's extremely simple. You just make a very small depression, maybe about 15-20 centimeters, wherever you need it a bit more, and then you plant it with grass or any other type of ground cover, and you're basically, you make it winding. The longer you make it, the better it is. You allow the water to go through the swales into your ponds. And then we had the road, which was also having quite a lot of runoff, plus we had the extremely steep slope. You can see that it's sloping towards the backside there, so we had a rush of water there. On the road, we put these stormwater channels. They are at regular intervals on both sides. They take care of the water that runs along. It goes in the channels and is directed into a swale, which is on the backside. So going back to this thing, what you see over here is a swale that's taking the water from the roofs into the pond, and this is a swale that's taking the water from the stormwater channel into the pond. Now, what happens when there's an extremely heavy rain? What will happen? It just means that the ponds will overflow because we don't have that kind of capacity in each of the ponds. So we solved that by actually connecting each of the ponds. So each of the ponds are connected to the next level of ponds and the next level of pond and the next level of pond to make sure that there's no overflow and there's no flooding around the houses. So, swales and stormwater channels are taking the water away from the houses into the ponds. The ponds, again, the size of them was varying. It was anything from between 1.5 to 2 meters. The surface area was calculated according to the number of ponds. They were not lined. There was no lining done as such, But we had to do some kind of reinforcing, because otherwise it would mean that the soil may collapse inside, the pond may collapse, the silt will collect inside. So we did a lot of planting. We did a lot of indigenous planting. We used a lot of grasses and so on to reinforce the sides of the pond. That's it. So the simple, the most simple system, which was implemented over here, it was just about catching the water from the roofs, taking it down, and then taking it along swales into the ponds which were connected. So, was there any problem with that? Did anything go wrong? Yes, it did. I mean, we had the good luck of having the construction period going on for about 2 years, 2.5 years. So, we could actually observe two rain cycles. So, we could work along with what was happening. It wasn't something that we just saw on the drawing board and we went and we put it over there. It was something that we actually managed to do as it was happening. The biggest problem was erosion. You will see over here, that is a lot of erosion. Mainly happening because the pond was just being had just finished. We had not yet stabilized it. We had not done anything to it, and the water was running from all sides. And I got this panic call from the client saying that the pond is collapsing, the pond is collapsing. And each time I would have to say, each rain time I would have to say, relax, we have not yet finished doing the pond. So how did we protect those ponds? We did this. This is the very same pond that you saw before. The place where the water was coming from was here. So what we did was we used a lot of granite, which was actually from the site. We used all the stone that was available on the site. And we created this kind of step, almost like a waterfall, so that the water, the force of water is broken. This kind of thing was done throughout the site. Wherever there was a drop in gradient, or there was a sharp turn where the water would just make a sharp turn, we made sure that there was some kind of reinforcement done with either special planting or some kind of stone or gravel, so that it doesn't run off or wash off the soil. Then we made sure that the edges of the ponds were protected. Again, there's no cement in this. This is all dry work. This is all, even over here what you see, there is no cement in this. This is just dry granite work. All the granite is from the site. And we made sure that the water is not allowed to come from any which way, but there where we want it to go, so that we can control it, that we can control the erosion. And then we planted also a lot of indigenous plants. Paul has also shown you in the earlier session this morning some of the site pictures. Paul was also involved in the planting. We did a lot of grasses. We did a lot of short-rooted things. These plants also help in filtering the water before it percolates down. That's it. This was the most simplest system. The clients absolutely loved it. The clients' children love it. It works just perfectly because it's cost effective. It is extremely easy to implement. It's a long-term solution to water management. And it's something that even the lay person can slowly understand, because there's nothing big involved in it. It's just making sure that the water that's falling on your land is staying there on the land as much as possible. Try to keep it there. And the effectiveness, this is a completed photo of the project. This is the other end of the road. It isn't just about rainwater harvesting, actually. It was about management of the rain. It was about soil erosion control. It was a lot of things. It would take me a long time to go into all the details of it. But it was something that worked so wonderfully that the clients are absolutely loving every moment of it. The ponds get full. We have a lot of small animals, frogs and what have you. And That's it. Thank you.